Hello and welcome back to LGBT Equality. You're listening to Charismatha and we are recording the fourth episode of the podcast. In today's episode, we will be talking about gender dysphoria. Now before I start, let me just remind you that because gender dysphoria is a mental health condition, if you're someone who is seeking out professional help, then it is better that you go consult a doctor or a psychiatrist because I'm not offering professional help. I'm just a 16-year-old amateur who is sharing my things I've witnessed, my friends, what they have gone through, and things I've picked up from Google, Instagram, or YouTube, or like Reddit. So most of the things that I will be speaking about is not professionally held, as long as, and also because a lot of things that I might have picked up from the internet or from my friends might not go well with what you are experiencing, because gender dysphoria is such a wide term. Things that someone might experience might not go well with you because everyone has different experiences with gender dysphoria. So with that being said, let us continue with gender dysphoria. I'll be talking about it in detail, so stay tuned till the end and I hope you enjoy. So what is gender dysphoria? Gender dysphoria is basically like a conflict between someone's assigned gender at birth and the gender with which he, she, or they identify with. Basically, a lot of trans people suffer from gender dysphoria. It is a mental health condition. A lot of people think that it is a mental illness, but no, it is a mental health condition and it's totally normal to feel and go with, like, experience gender dysphoria while you are transitioning or questioning yourself. To put it in easy terms, you can also relate it to a rock in your shoe. I read this somewhere on Reddit and I think it is the most easy explanation of gender dysphoria you can get. Basically, imagine that you have a very comfortable shoe that fits you. That is your gender. Now, someone who is comfortable with their gender can move around freely, they can run, they can stand, they can walk easily. But imagine someone who has a shoe that is too small for them or has a pebble in them. Then they will always, when they are walking, when they are standing, when they are running, they will always be aware of that particular stone and will feel uncomfortable. That is how it is with gender dysphoria. Someone might feel uncomfortable with their assigned gender and always feel some kind of uncomfort with that. However, this also doesn't mean that someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria will constantly feel it. It is just like anxiety, and dysphoria is fluid. It may be better on some days, it can be worse on the other day, and sometimes it will be just average. Gender dysphoria is a mental health condition. A lot of people think that it is a mental illness, but this is a very common misconception and you should just forget it. Gender dysphoria is incongruous with your assigned gender at birth, which means that people do not hate their bodies. It is just that they are uncomfortable with it and want to make slight or big changes with it. I think that we now have a basic understanding of what gender dysphoria is. So now let us start by looking at what some symptoms of the same can be. But before I start again, let me just remind you that the symptoms of gender dysphoria might vary from person to person, and I know this more because I have had friends that went through gender dysphoria in very variable processes, and I had to console them and be with them in different ways too. People who are suffering from gender dysphoria might have different symptoms, different experiences, and they might need and consolement, they might need help in different ways too. So it kind of like varies with people and to people, but some common symptoms that people might get or people might experience can be fearfulness, depression, anxiety, or they might just be scared of themselves. Some other symptoms might also include feeling isolated, they might feel ashamed or misunderstood. They might have a strong dislike of their own sexual anatomy,
and they might feel very uncomfortable with their appearance. Just like how I said that it is just like running with a shoe that is very uncomfortable in you, or you have, it's like short, it's like you have a pebble inside it. So it's like feeling discomfort within their own body. And because of this, sometimes people can also have an urge to harm oneself. So these symptoms kind of like just vary from person to person, and these also might not appear in some people till adulthood, and for some people they might even begin in childhood, and it just kind of like varies from people to people. But in like general, what is seen by the science, for example, like for kids who have gender dysphoria, they might demonstrate it from having like a strong preference for toys or like activities or clothes that is associated with another gender rather than the gender they assigned at birth. But of course, this is something that science, like basically I've picked up from Google. Personally, I believe that having strong preference for toys or activities that is associated with another gender is basically sexism in one way, but also because children don't know usually, and people who grow up in a very conservative place, and even though they have seen their parents tell them about the difference in the gender and they're still having a strong preference for the other gender, then it is generally a symptom of gender dysphoria, and it might be a hint that they are, you know, this is just a very bad joke. Anyways, but some research, they also suggest that 10 to 20% of children with gender dysphoria will continue to experience symptoms during adolescence. Many children who do like role play or experiment with gender identity will not continue to exhibit this behavior after puberty. And if kids show extreme emotional distress because of their gender identity, parents, they might want to talk to a medical expert about it. But gender dysphoria diagnoses in kids are very uncommon, and it is usually diagnosed at teenage, and sometimes it is also during adulthood. So that kind of also brings us to the question, how is gender dysphoria diagnosed, and if you're someone who wants to know if you have gender dysphoria or not, how can you find that out? So basically, doctors typically perform a behavioral health evaluation, and they use this criteria set up by their, you know, every country has different kind of manuals and diagnostic manuals, and the country themselves have different rules and regulations. So according to that, the doctor usually does a health evaluation, and if you're someone who wants to seek out help, then you should probably go to a psychiatrist and consult for the same. And some of the things that the doctor might try to see if the individual possesses or has to identify if they are suffering from gender dysphoria or not could be, for example, if the person shows a desire to identify as another gender, or if they have a strong preference for wearing clothes associated with other gender, if they have a strong preference to make believe or like fantasy play involving cross-dressing roles, or if they have a strong preference for games, activities, toys that is usually associated with the gender they identify with. And it also includes a preference for friends of the gender that they identify with. And we have always a refusal to engage in activities, toys, or games that aren't typically associated with their gender identity. So this means that they will try to do activities that they feel more comfortable with, and they will try to avoid the ones that their gender, the assigned gender at birth, is usually associated with, but they don't want to do it because their gender identity is different from the assigned gender at birth. And this also includes a deep dislike of their own sexual anatomy, as I mentioned below, and they also have a desire to have a physically sex characteristics that match their gender identity. And basically, the doctor or the psychiatrist diagnoses that if the person who is being diagnosed has all of these characteristics, then that means that they are suffering from gender dysphoria and they really want to get comfortable with the gender identity they want to have. And as I said, if you're someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria, then you should probably go see a doctor or consult a psychiatrist, and I really hope that you get well soon. So now that we know what gender dysphoria is and their symptoms, how can you help someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria? For example, if your friend is suffering from gender dysphoria, if your colleague is suffering from gender dysphoria, and you, even though you know that you cannot offer medical or professional help, you just want to be there for them during this whole process, someone like an emotional support person, and you'd really want to help them because they mean a lot to you. So what can you do for them? So you don't really need to do something major. You don't need to give them your entire world for them to get medical surgery. There's nothing of such sort. You just need to have these small changes, these small things that you can do for them. For example, you can just be there for them. You can just hear them out. You can listen to them rant. You can listen with an open mind when they share their experience. You can just stand by them. And because everyone who is facing gender dysphoria also is very anxious because of all the hate that the LGBTQ receives from the world, so you can just stand by them when they are facing judgment or hostility from homophobic people. And that you also like understand that for many, the way out of gender dysphoria is basically to receive gender affirming care, and this might or might not include medical procedures. So you just need to be supportive as they are exploring themselves and they are getting ready to navigate their choices. They are getting ready to make a choice on what they want with their bodies. So you just need to be there to support them and you just need to hear them out. Also, another thing that I used to do for my friends a lot was to call them by their gender identity terms. For example, someone whose assigned gender at birth is different, but they have not legally changed it yet, they might always be called on by their assigned gender at birth at school or at workplace or at any place outside house, right? So that also kind of like adds up to the, you know, to the gender dysphoria. It makes them feel misunderstood and it makes them feel like they don't have any importance. So because of that, you must start referring to them using the gender identity they are comfortable with. And I used to use, for example, I had a friend whose assigned gender at birth was a female, but they wanted to change their gender identity to a male. So I used to call them using he, him pronouns, they, them pronouns sometimes, because they used all pronouns. But I used to use mostly masculine pronouns with them, masculine terms, calling them handsome, calling them basically any type of masculine term that I could find. And it just made them feel like, yes, my identity matters, my masculine identity matters. And because of that, you can just kind of like assure them that yes, you are being heard, you are important. So these are some things that you can do for your friend. You can just be there for them, and that is all. Being there for someone means a lot, and it means a lot more than even material things, even money. So I hope that your friend feels better. If you're someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria yourself, I hope you're feeling better. And I just want you to know that even though the world is very homophobic, there are still very many people who support you and you are very heard, and I hope that you get better. So that is it for today. Thank you for listening till the end, and I hope you have a good day. Stay tuned for the next episode. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about in the next episode, but I'll come up with something. So thank you for listening till the end, and bye.